It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
But we're presently studying about the Great Tribulation, and Jesus referred to the last 3.5 years as a time of great tribulation. Matthew 24:21 says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Well, the last 3.5 years will be a time of tremendous satanic activity, and Satan's man, the devil's man, will be the earth's ruler and absolute dictator. In Revelation 13 and verses 1 through 10, we read about this. But in verse 2, it says, "The dragon gave him his power." That's how the Antichrist is so powerful, is because the devil is empowering him. And then in verse 4 of Revelation 13, it says, "They worship the dragon." These people are worshiping the devil, which gave power unto the beast. And we're seeing this today. People are actually worshiping the devil. Well, this has happened throughout ages, but more so today than at any other time. There's something called Wiccans, and they say that they're the good witches. Well, there's no such thing as a good witch. The Bible says, "Suffer a witch not to live." And we need to pray for these people that they'll get saved, that they'll know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You say, "Well, you mean they can get saved?" Well, they can get saved just like you and I have gotten saved, by trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's up to them. They have a free will. God does not force himself on anyone. He simply says to all who would come unto him, he would receive them. Jesus came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." He was lifted up. He was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. He died. Thank God he died, but he also rose from the dead. He's alive today, and because he lives, you and I live. That's those of us who have trusted him as Savior. Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape." And that's those people living during the time of the tribulation period. They think they've got it made. In the first part of the tribulation, but they're going to find out that destruction is coming, and it comes suddenly. Revelation 6 and verses 1 and 2, it says there, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, later on, we're going to look at the seals, and we're going to see more in depth as to what's going on here during this tribulation period. In Revelation 6, 4, verse 4, it says, "And there went out another horse that was red." This, of course, indicates war. The horse was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Well, many things are going to be taking place during that time. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. I'm more than glad. I praise God that I won't be here, because Jesus Christ has saved my soul. He's given me eternal life. And I'll be with the Lord in heaven. I've mentioned this, that we'll be at the judgment seat of Christ, and we go to the marriage of the Lamb, and then we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll be there with our Lord. But notice that the people, there will be people saved during the tribulation. Jews and Gentiles will be saved. Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 through 8. It says there, "Saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed. 12,000 of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed. 12,000 of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed. 12,000 of the tribe of Simeon were sealed. 12,000 of the tribe of Levi were sealed. 12,000 of the tribe of Issachar were sealed. 12,000 of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed. 12,000. You say, well, what is it? Why are we going through all these tribes? Well, God is specific. He wants us to know what's going on. And it continues by saying, of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. 144,000. These, of course, are not the Jehovah's Witnesses that we see walking, knocking on doors today, trying to give people the wrong idea about who Jesus is. They tell you that Jesus was only a teacher, but my Bible tells me that he's the Savior. Well, these will be real Jehovah Witnesses during this time. These 144,000, they will be witnesses to the true Lord. And thank God that people will be getting saved. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Some people say, well, will there be any people saved during the tribulation? Well, I believe there will be, according to the Bible. And once again, if we say nobody's going to be saved, we're calling God a liar. And we don't believe his word, because in Revelation 7 and verse 9, it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. There will be people saved during the tribulation period, a multitude that no man could number. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 13, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, people have always been saved the same way. Some people do not believe that we should be teaching about dispensations because they have the wrong knowledge. They have the wrong idea of what a dispensation is. They believe that people get saved differently during each dispensation, but that's not true. People get saved the same way in every dispensation, and especially we read of it in the tribulation period in this book that we're looking at, Revelation chapter 7. And notice in verse 14, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have, that means they were in the tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in what? The blood of the Lamb. It's always through the blood. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, I believe when we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, we see a mixture, when taken in context, of the time of tribulation and of that of the second coming of the Lord. Those we read of in 2 Thessalonians who have gone through the tribulation without receiving Christ as Savior are damned. There is nothing keeping a person from being saved during the tribulation. They do receive the truth of the gospel, but they refuse it. God saves the same way. People are saved by his grace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 1 Peter chapter 1 says it's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will refuse no one who comes to him faith-believing in our risen Lord. Many refuse the Lord today, as many will do in the tribulation. I'm going to read several verses here. And once again, I encourage you to have your Bible, King James Version, that is the Word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. In other words, don't let anyone fool you, is what's being said here. Paul's telling the Thessalonians, don't let anybody fool you. And he says, don't let anyone tell you that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Remember, God's got a plan. It's not going to happen until God's ready, until he says it's time. Now, the devil, we know, is powerful, but he's not as powerful as God. The devil is a created being, and he's never going to have any more power than God. He thought he wouldn't when he fell, when iniquity was found within him. I actually think he really thought that he was going to be more powerful than God, but he's not, and he never will be. And he's really going to find that out one of these days personally as he's cast into the lake of fire. But notice that verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. We know that we know that there's indications right now of the one world order, of things being brought under where one person is going to rule the world. We're looking at that right now, whether you understand it or not, whether you believe it. All you have to do is look around and you see that the stage is set for this man of sin to come on the scene. Verse 8, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, continue. Now we continue reading. And then shall that wicked be revealed. In other words, the man of sin, the beast, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now we're reading about the second coming of the Lord here, who's after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. He's speaking about the Antichrist now. He's going to destroy him. And verse 10 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God says that whosoever will call upon him, he'll save them. But he's saying that these people who do not call upon him, they're damned. And that's the way it is today. If a person does not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're damned. They're going to go to hell. And I pray that you know him today as your Lord and Savior, because I don't want to, I don't want you going into the tribulation, and I don't want you going to hell. I don't want you listening to the devil. You can be saved by repenting. Repenting simply means this. I say simply, it's something that you have to do. It's being willing to turn from your sin. It's being willing to realize you're a sinner and admit it to God. Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I do believe that Jesus came and he died for me. I believe his blood will save me. His blood will cover my sin. Won't you call upon him today and ask him to save you right now?
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.